Chapter 17. Chishima, 29 ABY, 15 years ago.
Piggy sat on a hilltop, watched over the vista of forest patches and fields of green ankle-high dry moss, felt cool breezes from the north as they tickled his cheek and caused the scrub bushes around him to sway. And he clamped down on his rebelling gut. Absently, he glanced over the readouts of his blaster rifle, a bulky model with a scope and a built-in underbarrel grenade launcher, for the 60th time since setting up his observation nest. The natural beauty down below was doomed. The Yuuzhan Vong held this world, and when they chose to devote the resources, they'd Vong form this lovely planet, transforming it into a likeness of their long-lost homeworld. Then it would be a vista of eerie, menacing plants and animals, and who knew what's. The communities here would be destroyed, their populations penned, brutalized, taught the ways of the Yuuzhan Vong until their past was a dim and meaningless memory. Perhaps he, Piggy, was doomed as well. Perhaps the other wraiths on this operation, somewhere between his position and the Yuuzhan Vong Shaper's Nest, set up a dozen kilometers to the south, were doomed. Perhaps everything he knew was doomed. Piggy caught sight of motion a few hundred meters to the south. Colors so like those everywhere in the landscape, but not part of it, moved over the rolling terrain. Piggy crawled forward across an angled flat rock at the hill's summit. It supported his weight. He'd tested it earlier. His head protruding over empty air, he brought his macro binoculars to his eyes. This was a highly computerized set of macro binoculars. They stabilized his view, compensating for slight motions of his hands, compensating for his breathing. They subtracted the least movement, such as plant stalks bending in the wind, from his vision. What was left was what was really moving. In moments, he had it. Two figures covered neck to feet in camouflage-patterned clothing and gear. Esteric Sandskimmer and Runt Equish. The sandy-haired human carried a gray, conical cylinder, dull and featureless. He cradled it in his arms as he ran. There was a dark spot on Esteric's side, not a part of the camouflage pattern. Blood. Runt seemed unhurt. Both were traveling fast, straight for Piggy's position. It took Piggy a moment to realize what was missing from the picture. Neither Esteric nor Runt carried a pack or blaster rifle. They must have been forced to abandon that gear in order to increase their speed. Missing gear? Blood on Esteric. The two had encountered Yuuzhan Vong warriors. But they had the cylinder. They'd succeeded in their mission. At least so far. Piggy set the macro binoculars aside and brought up his blaster rifle. He trained it on his friends, focused through the scope, and tracked south from where Esteric and Runt were. Yes, only about 50 meters behind, three Yuuzhan Vong warriors came at a full run, not slowed by their organic Vondune crab armor they wore. The armor, glistening like the inside lining of some seashells, covered their torsos. Accessory pieces acted as helmets, greaves, bracers. They were living things, those pieces, no two identical, and were so durable that a breastplate could deflect a badly struck blow from a lightsaber or an angled shot from a blaster rifle. Piggy froze for a moment. He was a good shot, but not good enough to take out fast-moving targets at this range. If he waited until the warriors caught up with his friends, they'd be too close to Esteric and Runt for Piggy to snipe safely. And he couldn't open up a comm channel to Bindi in the gunship. Not if what New Republic intelligence believed about the Shaper's Nest on this world was true. There was no good answer. There was no mathematically perfect response. The three warriors held amphistaffs, deadly serpent-like life forms that could be stiff blunt force weapons one moment, pliant whip-like entanglers with poisonous heads the next. But now they transferred the amphistaffs to their offhands. Each reached into a pouch, withdrew something, and threw. Piggy winced. Thud bugs. It had to be. Flying insects that distorted gravity. They could become far heavier just at the moment of impact, unloading lethal amounts of kinetic energy against whatever they hit. At this range, Piggy couldn't see the thud bugs themselves. He saw Runt's stride continue unbroken. That meant Runt's jammer had to be functioning. A late development from Intelligence's Research and Development Department, The jammers confounded Thudbug's senses in a limited area, making them less accurate. But Esterik arched forward as if he'd been hit by a catapult stone at waist level. He went down hard, tumbling, the gray cylinder rolling away from him. Coldness gripped Piggy's insides. He heard himself murmuring,
"No, no, no,"
as if the words might somehow convince the impending tragedy to seek other victims. He flipped the selector on his blaster over to grenades. He sighted in on Esterik and marked the range to the man. It was 153 meters. Piggy knew Runt would not abandon Esterik, and that meant the fight would take place right there. The three warriors slowed in their approach. The biggest one had the most ornate, most gleaming armor, and his helmet made him seem as tall as Runt. The next largest was the size of an average human male, the smallest slightly shorter. The smallest also had the least impressive armor. He was probably a juvenile. Runt stopped beside Esterik. He turned toward the warrior, a vibroblade, long and wicked, in his right hand. His left fist was closed around something Piggy couldn't see. Esterik, clearly in pain, clawed for his own blaster pistol, struggling to get it free of its holster. Then the warriors reached them. The biggest one held back, standing atop a small rise, directing the smallest forward. Piggy ground his teeth. The Yuuzhan Vong leader was making this a training exercise. But the biggest warrior was now stationary. Piggy sighted in on him, did not bother reading the numbers on his scope display. Mentally, he calculated the warrior's distance from Esterik. 10.3 meters. There was a 2-meter difference in Esterik's and the warrior's respective altitudes. Winds from the north-northwest, 8 knots. No heat shimmer to factor in. Piggy elevated his barrel to the correct angle for the grenade launch and squeezed the trigger. With the blast, the weapon's stock thumped back into his shoulder. He would have a second before the grenade hit. Piggy sighted in on the second-largest warrior. That one charged at Runt, swinging his amphistaff. The smallest charged Esterik. Runt's arm came up, his left arm. His hand opened. A cloud of glittering dust erupted from it, blanketing the smallest warrior, enveloping his head.
No, no, no!
Piggy knew it was a tactical mistake. Runt was trying to protect Esterik. The second warrior's amphistaff cracked across Runt's midsection, hurtling him to the green-covered ground. The biggest warrior was abruptly replaced by a cloud of black and red smoke. Piggy forced himself not to look at the explosion, but the second warrior did. The smallest warrior staggered back from Esterik, flailing to clear the dust from his face. The sound of the grenade explosion reached Piggy. A distant crack boom! Piggy's sighting bracket settled on the second warrior's back. He elevated his aim a touch, finding the bottom of the back of the warrior's helmet. The warrior turned to look for the source of the grenade. The movement brought his neck into view in the scope brackets. Piggy squeezed the trigger. The scope view flared with light from his blaster bolt, and the pale Yuuzhan Vong skin blackened. The warrior staggered back and fell. Piggy reoriented, took in the whole situation. The biggest warrior was on his back, his upper body scorched, his entire head was gone. The second warrior was down, not moving. Piggy was sure of the kill. The smallest warrior stood over Esterik. The tail end of his amphistaff was a third of a meter deep in Esterik's chest, right where the heart was. Esterik's body was in mid-convulsion, stiffening. The warrior's head was turning as though he was scanning for sound. Runt's dust had to have blinded him, and yet he'd found and killed Esterik. Runt, up on his feet, slammed into the last Yuuzhan Vong warrior. They went to the ground together. Runt's right hand came up and down, stabbing again and again with the vibroblade. The blade ran black with the alien warrior's blood. And suddenly, nobody down there was moving. Though he seemed to have no breath, Piggy ran, his blaster rifle in his hands, down his hill slope and then up the slight rise to where the fight had taken place. In moments, he reached the five combatants. Four lay still. Runt was alive, his chest heaving, his features twisted in pain. His movements were weak. Runt looked up as Piggy reached him. His jaw worked. Only then did Piggy hear it. The rustle slightly louder than the wind, from just a couple of steps to his right. He spun, aimed. one of the amphistaffs, now mobile, glided toward him through the moss with a sidewinder motion. Piggy fired! The heavy rifle blast caught the amphistaff, picked it up, hurled it meters away. Even that didn't kill the beast. The amphistaff landed, charred along the midsection, and slithered away. Piggy looked around. The smallest warrior staff was also in retreat, and the biggest warrior staff was not in evidence. He knelt beside Runt and slung his rifle on its strap.
Hold on. I'll get you out of here.
Amphi stuff it's unbitten, Piggy.
Runt's lips, where his fur did not cover them, and his upper palate inside his mouth were already pale. Runt panted, as if superheating from the inside. Piggy shook his head, denying the evidence of his eyes.
Your metabolism's not like ours. You're fighting it, Runt.
He pulled Runt up to a sitting position, and then partly across one shoulder, he prepared to stand. Runt tapped Piggy's sides, his touch barely strong enough to be felt.
Let me down.
Piggy hesitated. He felt his face twist against the fact he had to face. Gently, he lowered Runt back to the moss. His old friend looked up at him, sympathy mixing with the pain he clearly was experiencing.
More warriors. 1-2 kilometers back. Their grenade will bring them. You can get away with it, Combuster, or you can die with me.
I'll stay. I can't leave you like this.
No! Nothing would be worse than if they had an antidote.
Piggy looked at his friend's face, saw the thoughts that were crossing behind Runt's eyes. An antidote to the amphistaff's venom, even a temporary one, meant minutes, maybe hours of suffering. Suffering, interrogation, horror. Now there was only one escape for Runt. Piggy felt tears flood his eyes, but he drew his blaster pistol.
Forgive me.
I forgive.
Piggy put the barrel beneath his friend's chin and pulled the trigger. Runt's body jerked, and the smell of burned hair mixed with the odors of smoke and burned Yuuzhan Vong's skin. Piggy rose, shaking, and holstered his pistol. He gave his friend one last look. Ohas Runt Ekwesh, poisoned and burned in death. His body would not be sent back to his homeworld for proper rituals. This was wrong. Piggy caught up the gray cylinder. Its contents buzzed, angry. Comm buzzers. New Republic intelligence had heard rumors of a new insect species created by the shapers of the Yuuzhan Vong. It was said these insects sensed comm traffic. They were infuriated by it. They would track it to its source. If the source was intermittent, they would fly while it was active, swarm when it ceased, resume their search when it became active again. With enough time, even a comm unit sending brief burst data packets at intervals could be traced. Tsushima was the planet where they were being developed. If Runt and Esterik had done their work right, the tremendous load of explosives Runt had carried would now be situated in, under, and around the Shaper's Nest where the comm buzzers were being developed. The prototype insects, their creators, everything related to that project except the living examples in this cylinder would... There was a distant rumble, followed by a succession of additional rumbles, and a pillar of black smoke rose into the sky to the south. Piggy turned with his box full of bugs and ran. I know you don't want to hear this. Face's manner and voice both demonstrated his sympathy, the sense of loss he himself must be feeling. Despite our losses, you did something important down there. Piggy slammed his large hand down on his superior's desk. In the tiny office cabin aboard the frigate that was the Wraith's temporary headquarters, the noise was especially loud.
This was a nothing assignment! 2 good men died for nothing!
Yes, the war's almost done. We have the Yuuzhan Vong on the ropes.
but they're so inventive.
Those bugs wouldn't have turned the tide of the war.
Maybe not. But they could have led to the discovery and elimination of countless resistance and insurgency cells. Countless commando and intelligence units. How many men and women would have died? 1,000? Just 200? Piggy, tell me that Runt or Estric would stand in front of me and say, I won't die for just 100 men. I don't want to go. Piggy sagged back in his chair.
Face, I don't care. I'm done.
You weren't done yesterday. Get some rest. Take some leave. Say your goodbyes. You'll come back in a few days ready for another fight. Piggy shook his head.
I don't have another fight in me.
Piggy.
And don't call me Piggy. I'm Vort. I left Piggy back with Runt.